So we thank God indeed for another good morning that God has given us to look at his word. And we are just going to pick it up from where we left it yesterday. And we were speaking about the pleasure of God in having sons. And we were able to see that, you see, when God brought his only begotten son to the scene, that means on the earth, then it was at the Jordan that he gave that affirmation, that divine endorsement, that this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And this is when he saw, we also see that the Holy Spirit comes, descends and dwells and rests upon him. And then likewise also on the mountain of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, when he goes up with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and as he prayed, the Bible says, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and he was glorified, and there appeared next to him Elijah and Moses, and they conversed with him. And you know, when Peter saw this, he said, Lord, it is good that we are here. Let us make for you three tents. And immediately he said that, you know, the light swallowed them, and then they disappeared, and then Jesus was left alone. And you see, the thing is, when you think of that moment, Peter wanted to equate Jesus to be equal to Moses and to be equal to Elijah, because in his mind he was thinking, you know, whenever God comes, and God had always wanted to dwell in tents, but you see, Elijah and Moses were the fulfillment of Christ. And remember, when Jesus opens the eyes of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, he tells them that he showed them from the scripture what the laws and the prophets had spoken and had testified of him concerning the Christ, that the Christ must suffer these things. So when Elijah stands there and Moses stands there, it's a testimony that they're coming not only to encourage him, because he was going to go, you know, to the cross, and that this was before he now goes into Jerusalem, but also is a testimony that he is a fulfillment, and they come to bear witness to him. And you see, this is something that God does. As we walk with him, he will also send us help. He will send us his Holy Spirit. He can send us angels. He can send us guides who will, you know, who will speak to us, who will guide us along the way. And you can see, even for Jesus, when he was on the earth, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and these two appeared. And the Bible says it was as he prayed. And so prayer is very important. And one of the things that we see as a characteristic of Jesus is that he was a man of prayer. And he prayed and he prayed. And no matter how busy he was, he would always withdraw. The Bible tells us in Mark 1:35 that early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place to pray. And then so we were just before we lose the line, we were saying that God's pleasure in having sons. And then when Paul comes on the scene, the Bible says, it pleased the Father to reveal the Son in me. And he discovered that, you know, that God revealed Christ to him. And remember, even when he's speaking of giving of the communion, he said, for I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus. That means he was not there on the day of, you know, he was not there on the day of the Last Supper, but you see, he received it from the Lord. You know, the Lord revealed it to him by revelation. But you see, he not only saw the Lord from afar, as how he was when he saw him, he asked him, Lord, who are you? But also, the Bible says, it pleased God to reveal the Son in me. So now he realized that it is no longer him that lives, but it is Christ that lives in him. And this was the revelation that when it came to Paul, the Bible says he went to Arabia. He felt that no, he needs to take time to the wilderness so that this revelation can sink in, and such that he can be affirmed and he can be sure that this is actually the truth. And you see, it is the same truth that even Jesus, when he was given that truth by the Father that this is my beloved Son. He was also led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. And so likewise, Paul too, when he pleased the Father to reveal the Son in him, then he also went into Arabia, and it was in this time, as he continued to pray, he has all these visions, he has the full understanding of the gospel, and that's why the Bible says that he has laid the foundation as a master expert builder, you know, and no one can lay any other foundation except that which is of Christ. So Paul had the full revelation, the full counsel of God, and it was revealed to him. And what is the full counsel of God? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in past and sundry times, God spoke unto us to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So the full revelation of God is that God has spoken to us by his Son, who is the image, he's the exact image of his person, is the brilliance of his glory, you know. So God has chosen to reveal himself to you and me today by his Son. Who is his Son? His Son is Christ, Jesus Christ. And so the full revelation of God is the Son, but not only that the Son, as we know him from afar, but we must also have the revelation that the Son dwells in us. It pleased the Father that the Son be revealed in me. And that means that we no longer must see Christ from afar, but we must see him in us and us in him. Now, that is one of the mysteries, that we must see Christ in us, God living in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that is the difference, that we are not apart from Christ. He is in us, and what we need to do is we must die to ourselves. We must die to our own nature. We must die to our own desires and allow him to live. That is why it says, from now on, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I now live by the faith of the Son of God. That means it is the faith that it is the Son of God that lives in me, that when I move, when I hold people, when I speak to people, when I touch people, it is the Christ that is ministering to them. It is the Christ, it is Jesus, it is the Son that is living in me, that is ministering to them. That when you speak to people, the Bible says, if anyone speaks for God, let him speak as the very oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him minister as the minister of God, as the hands of God. That means that you must see yourself being Christ's representative on the earth, being a son of God on the earth, and executing the plan and purposes of your Father. And the Bible says that when we read Ephesians 1 and we saw in verse 5 that it pleased the Father that for the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, before the foundations of the earth were laid, he chose us in him to be adopted as sons. So that adoption, and I think just to pick it up from the question you raised yesterday, are we not all children of God? Are we not all? Yes, there is an element of that, because God made man in his image and likeness. But you see, the moment we choose to disobey, the moment we fall into sin, and the moment we are born into sin, the Bible says that we are become children of disobedience. We are children of the devil. It tells the Pharisees that, don't you know you are of your father, the devil, because the father is the father of lies. He has been sinning from the beginning, you know. So it tells us clearly that there are those who are born of God, and then there are those who are born of the devil, those who are children of the devil, who are under the control and who live under his dictates. But you see, when the Bible speaks of children and sons, you have to understand that there are actually three words that are used for children of God or for sons of God. Now, the first word is Nepius, which is a babe, which refers to an infant in the things of God. You see, when God says, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk by which you may grow in it. Now, Nepius is someone who is accepted, who has believed in Christ, but is still living a carnal life. You can think of when Paul says to the church that I could no longer write to you as mature, but only as infants, as spiritual babes. Why? Because you are still deciding, you are still choosing, oh, I follow Apollos, oh, I follow Peter, oh, I follow, you know, all this other Peter and Paul. And he tells them, are you not mere men, mere infants? So that means that there was a desire for Paul to preach to the church, the Corinthian church, deeper things. But you see, he found that they were divided. And he says, don't you know that all things are yours? That all of these things, the whole world, the whole creation, the whole cosmos, the things to come, things present, things to come, all things are yours. And ye are of God's, and Christ, ye are of Christ, and Christ is of God. So he's telling us that when we see there are infants and there are mature sons. Then there's also the other word, which is heos. Now, heos refers to the mature sons of God. Now, when Romans 8:14 says that for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That means that when you are a heos, when you are now a mature son of God, it is where now you're no longer a child. You're no longer an infant that is just carnal. Because you can find someone has come to Christ, yes, but they're still struggling with sinful nature. They're still playing with sin. That's why he says, I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven. Children are still in that place where they're still coming to comprehension of the faith. They're still trying to understand this grace. How can you say my sins are forgiven? That God, you have washed away my sins. You have saved me. And the infant is like, okay, so if I sin, it is okay. But you see, God says that must we continue sinning so that grace increases? No. God still pours out his grace still on this child that is struggling in sin. The grace is still there. God still forgives them. They confess. They wake up. They sin. They confess. God is still merciful. Why? Because God still looks at this person as a child. This child is still messing up. And God is still that, I want you to come to truth. I want you to come to understanding that no one who is born of God continues to live in sin. No one who is born of God continues to practice in sin. Because if you continue, then it will get to a point where you'll realize you are not really saved. Because you cannot continue living in sin. Why? Because there's a seed of God, which if really you believed, which if you really you understood the message that this mercy of God is to lead you to repentance, that godly sorrow is to lead you to repentance, and repentance is change of mind, is change of direction, is change of thinking. You know, I was living in this sin. I can no longer live in this sin. I am given the empowerment to live a holy life. And the Bible tells us that when I was a child, I talked like a child, I reasoned like a child, but now when I'm a man, I must put childish things away. That means that as you grow in maturity, as God calls us to grow into mature sons, he needs us to put away childish things. He needs us to put away sin. He needs us to die to sin, because he has dealt with sin. He has cut away sin. He has cut away that sinful nature. That sinful nature has been circumcised, put off, and sin has no dominion over us. And that's why the Bible says, let us not give our members again unto works of wickedness, unto instruments of wickedness. But let us no longer be slaves to sin, but let us be slaves to righteousness. So the mature sons of God are the ones that now become gifts that God uses. That's what the Bible says. For to us a child is born, but to us a son is given. That giving there refers to the gift. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Government, responsibility, authority is given to the mature sons. And this is the place where God wants us to grow. This is the place where God is calling us in a deeper place. That's why he calls us to consecration. He calls us to study of the word. He calls us to grow in faith. He calls us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. He calls us to walk in holiness, in righteousness, to practice righteousness. Because that is the journey of the mature. The journey of the mature are those who, by putting to death their sinful nature, the Bible says that they are no longer controlled. They are no longer led by their sinful nature, but they are led by the Spirit of God. As long as you desire to grow in the things of God, as long as you're persisting to grow in the things of God, then God grows you in rank. God grows you in maturity. And as you pray in tongues, as you read the word, as you take time to fast, as you take time to give, as you take time to follow all these commandments of God that we see in the scripture, then God grows you. And he now starts to see that I can trust you. Just like in your home, you cannot, no matter how much the child, that your child is entitled to all your property, no matter how much your child is entitled to all the inheritance, the Bible says, for as long as the child is still, the heir is a child, he's not different from a slave, even though he is the owner of all things. That is the problem we have. God has pleasure in having sons, and he chose us that we should be conformed to the image of his son. That is his pleasure, that those he foreknew, he predestined, and those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified, that we might be conformed to the image of his son. God's greatest desire is that you and me, not only are babes, says like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk by which you might grow in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, God desires that not only do we stay babes, but that we grow into maturity and that we become sons that he can use for his glory. The heirs are the mature sons of God. Those are the ones that God wants to use. And maybe we can just look at Galatians chapter 4. And such that you can just have a base for that and pray that God will give us insight even as we'll be concluding with this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So look at that. This is what I was saying, that the heir, as long as he is a child, is not different from a slave or from a servant, although he is Lord of all, although he is the owner of all. That is why you see parents, whenever they are giving, or maybe when some parents, they have put in their will that as long as their children are under 18, they will give the money that is for them to be under trusts. And those trusts administer those resources. So likewise, he's saying, the heir, as long as he's a child, differs not from a slave, although he is the owner of all things, but he is under tutors and under governors until the time that is appointed by the Father. And he says, even so, we were children in bondage under the elements of the world. That means that when we become sons, We are no longer under the elements of the world. You have power over the elements of the world. Think of it. Think of what Scripture is also saying. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And what does this mean? It says, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Remember, the Bible tells us that he has given us his Spirit, that we have no longer, we have in Romans 8:16, that you have not received a spirit that makes you once again a slave to fear, but you have received a spirit of sonship by whom you cry, Abba, Father. God has given us the Spirit of his Son. The same way Jesus, why is he saying the Spirit of his Son? The same way Jesus will cry and say, my Father, I'm crying, I'm calling out to my Father, I'm praying to my Father. That's why when he was leaving, he told his disciples, I'm going back to my Father and to your Father. Why? Because the same Spirit of his Son, of his only begotten Son, is the one that is given to us. And by that same Spirit, we also have the right to cry out to him, Abba, Father. Abba. And Abba is a word of intimacy. It's like Baba. But it means source. It means our origin. And verse 7, it says, where thou art, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I don't know how that rings in your heart. That you are an heir of God. That means that the inheritance of God, every blessing of God, every right of God. Remember, think of it, heirs. Who are heirs? Heirs are legitimate sons who have a right to the inheritance. But remember, the warning came earlier. As long as we are still children, we will still live as slaves. We will still be treated as slaves. The administrator will not give us, who is the Holy Spirit, everything that we require, everything that is our right. But you see, when we grow and when we become mature sons, then now we receive the right at the time appointed by the Father to receive every inheritance and every power and every authority that comes from being a son. Says, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That means that you inherit, you possess everything that belongs to your Father. When you are an heir, it all belongs to him, the heavens, the earth. That's why the Bible says there's a reconciliation of the world in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to him. When he ascended, he filled all things. He is the possessor of heaven and earth, and that's why he has given you and me, who have believed in him, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever we lose on earth is loosed on heaven. Think of the understanding that Elijah had, that he said that no rain shall come except by my word. He bound it on the earth. And the Bible says, and the heavens withheld its rain, and the earth withheld its fruit. He bound it on the earth, and it was bound in heaven. And the Bible says, Elijah was just a man like you and me. God is telling us that we can live above the elements of this world. We can live, we can have power over creation. We can have power over the basic things that we see. When we partake of our inheritance, who is God himself, when we are mature sons, when we grow in maturity, when we transition by grace from being infants to sons, from infancy to maturity, from being an abuse to being a healer. This is what God wants of each of us. I'll stop there and allow God to let his word sink in us. My brother, you're welcome. Okay, my brother. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you come to speak to us. You're calling us to deeper, calling us to maturity, calling us to a place of sonship, calling us to a place of receiving the inheritance that you have called us to have power to walk in above the elements, to walk like Christ did, that you've given us the Spirit of your Son, that we can walk in the authority of the Son. And not only can we cry out to you, Abba Father, indeed it gives you great pleasure that your sons walk in maturity. And may your name be praised, may your name be worshipped, may your name be exalted. Thank you for my brother, my sister, who needs to hear this word, who needs to come to truth, O God, that you receive them. May they hear the truth and the truth that makes them free. May they be free to walk into the inheritance of their Father. I pray for strength. I pray for grace. I pray for wisdom. I pray for your Spirit to abound in us, and may we abound in every good work to the praise and honor of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.
Amen.